Welcome to Apple at Work, podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. This week, I have a first-time guest on the show, John Campbell from Cinch. John, welcome to Apple at Work.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So one of the big things that we've – feels like it's been coming for a year now. I think it was last November, Apple finally announced they were going to support RCS on the iPhone. Just so we can level set for all of our listeners, can you give us a rundown on the differences between like RCS and SMS?
Sure. For me, this is a personal story. I moved my entire family here to the US 6 years ago because RCS was going to finally happen. And so it's been a 6 year battle and journey. But in terms of the differences, very crudely, each network operator around the world needs to have its own SMSC or MMSC. This is the heart of how they run and deliver SMS and MMS to you and I as the consumer. So there's a bunch of infrastructure that exists as a protocol to drive that protocol inside the network. In terms of RCS, a bit like SMS, it is a GSMA mobile standard, but it required some new infrastructure, new services. I won't bore the listeners with the detail, but over time, that's been shortcut with Google and Jive. So effectively, Google takes control of that background infrastructure to make RCS, which is effectively a new style of messaging that happens between you and I and businesses. So instead of each carrier having to build and run these services, and then rely on companies to interconnect and manage you and I texting each other internationally around the world, Google plays that role on behalf of the carriers and terminates to your handset natively into the messaging app.
This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Mosel. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Mosel is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Mosel is more than an Apple MDM. Mosel is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mosel.com. That's business.mosyle.com. Thanks to Mosel for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Is there any concern, again, from a protocol standpoint, like I any listener to the podcast will know, like I'm a big fan of protocols. I love email. I've always loved email because anybody in the world can be a part of email and no one can stop you. It's a protocol. Same with the web. I mean, our lives are built on protocols. But on the flip side, like as I've used Apple products for 20 years, iMessage is a great experience. Now, the downside is it's not a protocol. It's a platform. Apple controls it. They determine who gets to play. Android cannot work with iMessage. PCs can't. You can't access it on the web. So like there's some major, I guess, complaints on the flip side. But with Google playing such an important part here in the RCS infrastructure, is there any concern on just like single points of failure or, I don't know, like where it's really not decentralized at this point?
There's always concerns. There's pros and cons to every which way you go. The most important part, as you said, this service is built on protocols and standards. And the players that offer the service need to adhere as much as they can to those standards. So that's a plus, number one. I think as this rolls out, there is concerns generally around how this will stack up. But from our perspective, no. Google is tried and tested in terms of an infrastructure play. We, from our experience already today on a business messaging standpoint, the A2P, the application, this is businesses messaging to you and I, has been working seamlessly. And there are many listeners around the world that are enjoying RCS today. They may not know it as RCS, but on Android only. And that has gone without hiccup, maybe under the radar. So to date, we have no concerns in the ecosystem, but we're all working together to make sure that that continues. At the end of the day, if anything happens now to you or I on our consumer service on a network level, we all scream and shout. if anything happens to that messaging experience on the handset, we will all scream and shout. So I think nobody in the ecosystem, be it Google, Apple, us, could tolerate any length of uncertainty in terms of downtime or unavailability.
I really do believe that this upgrade is really, really critical to worldwide communications. You know, obviously inside the U.S., SMS, you know, slash iMessage usage is dramatically higher than it is outside the U.S. Obviously, you know, WhatsApp, Signal, those apps are pretty critical around the world. But in the U.S., SMS was really the default. I think, you know, I've always heard people speculate on why, but in some ways, we got unlimited texting pretty early in the process. We're outside the U.S. From my understanding, they didn't. And so we just kind of kept using SMS because it was unlimited. And it's really a seamless experience. And I was really, I guess bearish is the word on texting as a service. I was really even going back like 10 years and there's some products cropping up around that. And at the time we were still heavy into everything is going to be an app. And then you kind of have a few experiences. And good, the easy example for me is my car dealership where I get my maintenance done, and then I check it into a hotel. So just last week, I was getting my wife's oil changed and whatnot, and they send you a text, and it's like, you know, here's click here for recommended service that we recommend. You can click it, you can review it, sign it right there on your phone, no app needed. And somewhere along the way, we just got sick of apps. And there was this clip from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't know if you've ever seen the show. And the guy goes in to buy tea. And she's like, well, $20 minimum or $10 minimum. He was like, well, I have cash. We don't take cash. She's like, well, there's no minimum if you use the app. He's like, I don't want to use the app. And it's like, I kind of feel that. Like, it's like we all are kind of apped out. I don't want an app from my dealership to review service. SMS is an easy way to cut through the noise of email. Again, everybody gets too much email. Cut through the noise of email, but it's way easier than an app. And same thing, I've been to plenty of hotels where you check in and there's a tech, clearly whatever, you're probably using a service like y'all, it's using some sort of SMS gateway. They just send you a text hey, welcome, welcome. If you need anything, just text us back. And you're oh, well, that's a nice experience. And so you realize that SMS and the messaging ecosystem is in some ways the most enjoyable way to communicate with businesses. It's much, much more intimate than an app. Is that kind of your take as well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. There will always be a place for apps, especially where that is a frequent place for you to interact. If you and I are traveling with a particular airline, it's likely you and I will keep that app. But if we travel on something else that's cheaper now and again, we won't download that app. And that is exactly where this is a great fit. I feel like we've been pushing this app-like experience narrative, but I actually heard it for the first time a few weeks ago from a logistics provider where we're doing parcel delivery and re-delivery. And it's a classic case of, well, if you had our app, you could reschedule your package and get it delivered next week. You could have a calendar pick time. And it was actually then that turned around and said, actually, we don't need to push anyone to go and get this app. We can do that natively inside RCS. We can now have a calendar item, location updates, and some choices. For them, it's a no-brainer. They no longer need to force and push the app. They can give customers a great experience like you and I. And at the same time, they can save a ton of money on missed deliveries, warehouse fees of restocking, and all that kind of good stuff. So there's absolutely a place for an app-like experience in those infrequent brands that we use.
Well, that's a great example of the airline, because a few weeks ago, I normally travel Delta. And for whatever reason, a few weeks ago, I had to go back and forth to Vegas over a couple of days, and I was on American. And it's like I had to reschedule and the whole thing. So they were texting me with flight reschedules when the updates. And it's like I don't fly American that often based on where I live here in the U.S. I fly Delta generally. And it's like, to me, texting is just the easiest way. But again, it's a protocol. And so I think it's very powerful. So I'm really, I think Apple was maybe drug into RCS a little bit screaming and kicking regulatory threats around the world, but that's okay. That's probably the role of it. Apple should support RCS. RCS for the iPhone is good for iPhone users. It's a better experience. It has better security. It's an upgraded experience when chatting with people that don't have they don't have an iPhone. It's a win for its customers. I think it's an open protocol, and it does feel like this has been, you mentioned, you know, 6 years ago, like it does feel like it's been a slog. But I do think that oftentimes that's kind of the way these protocols happen. They happen very slowly, much slower than you think. And then all of a sudden you turn around and it's like, it's everywhere. And you mentioned this, and like where people around the world are probably already benefiting from RCS and they don't know it. I don't think your average person is ever going to know what like RCS is, but they'll just know that their texting experience overall has gotten better and faster.
Exactly. I mean, that's the beauty of why SMS was so successful. It's the ubiquity, and it's the, I don't, you know, we have names of SMS or text or messaging, depending on where you are around the world, but we're all referencing exactly the same thing. And the hope and belief is that RCS becomes that too, right? Now, it's, I think, a disease of the telco ecosystem where we have these three-letter, four-letter acronyms of everything, but you know, each app experience, you know, I've used Apple Messages for Business with the likes of Delta KLM. I've used WhatsApp with baggage loss through Virgin Atlantic. I've used MMS through Home Depot and support issue. That two-way element always relies on something. You know, MMS is not available worldwide, or you have to download these certain apps, or you have to be an iOS user. But the beauty of RCS, and back to what we started with chat with, is as a standard, the idea, an ideal situation, is it's just native in that messaging inbox that we all know and love, and no matter what we call it, and then it's accessible to all of us. So that's the hope.
Again, that's the hope of protocols, is they're accessible to everybody. Everybody can use it. Yeah, that, again, it's a win. Like iMessage is great, just like Slack is great, but Slack is a platform, and there's limitations there. And email has stood the test of time. I've said on like countless past podcasts, like SMTP is to me one of the most important technologies ever invented. It provided free communication around the world for the speed of light. And like SMS is in some ways the same way. Obviously, there's a little bit more dependency because there's fewer carriers and ISPs. It's funny, you mentioned telco. I was like, my first job ever was doing ISP tech support at a telco. And it's like, again, it's over 20 years ago at this point. But like I remember, you used to charge for long distance. It was like $3.95 a minute. And it's like now you think about it, you can send a message from here to here to Tokyo for free at the speed of light. 20 years ago, you were paying $3.95 a minute to talk to somebody on the phone. And it's just like the world, how it's crazy how the world has evolved. And obviously, you all at Cint are excited about RCS because this is impactful for your business. What all services do you provide to business? I know there's more than just messaging. What are the complete suite of services you all offer?
Yeah, the industry term is a CPaaS, communications platform as a service. But crudely, the description of that is that we try to enable any kind of messaging that a customer may need. And that could be B2B, B2C, but we provide email services globally. We provide voice behind the scenes, here in the US, supplying numbers through to the voice routing and calling. We provide P2P interconnect, that is you and I texting each other. Some of the networks around the world do not send text to each other. They have middle people like us that handle that internet, the exchange. Through to a mainstay of our business is helping businesses communicate with consumers. And that's everything from authentication through to marketing messages, through to package redelivery, whatever it might be. But that's the bulk of our revenue today, is that business to consumer messaging.
Well, and again, it goes back to providing that infrastructure that businesses or different apps, they want this communication. But this doing this kind of stuff quickly, reliably, and affordably is not easy. And so partnering with someone that can really handle that like middle ground of getting the information from whatever system you're in to the customer, there's a lot of work that goes into that.
Yeah, it's when someone asks me what you do for a living, you explain it. It sounds very simple on the surface of, we send SMS. But when you lift the hood of that, you and I and your listeners get frustrated when you click for a 2FA. And if you don't receive it in 1 or 2 seconds, I want another one, I want another one. And you get frustrated. Mm-hmm. Through to you know, we have brands sending millions to billions of marketing text for the brands that you may and love, and you want to receive a 20% discount, 30%. So on one hand, we need to be able to consume thousands and thousands of transactions per second on marketing. But at the same time, if you're chatting with a help desk on SMS, we cannot afford to have a lag in that. You know, you want to feel like somebody's there. If the contact center responds to you 5 minutes later to your initial text, you're gone, you're switched off, right? So we have to handle all those latency sensitive scenarios.
Well, and I'm like you mentioned iMessage for Business, like that is a nice experience, but it's very siloed. It doesn't scale. And again, one of the, like you said, the biggest frustrations is you're waiting on a text to come in with a code. It's slow. And, you know, it may not sound like the difference in 5 seconds and 30 seconds doesn't sound like a lot. But when you're waiting down the code to log in, you're trying to reset a password like that. That actually matters. That is a lot of time that can really frustrate a customer. And again, on the marketing side, like I probably would have disagreed with myself 10 years ago, maybe would have disagreed. There are a handful of brands I will subscribe to their messages and I want to see them. Again, my email inbox is empty or is noisy, but like I am much more curated on the SMS side, and it is actually a nice experience. It gets me the coupons I want or the information I want. Like, I mean, it's even like dumb stuff. Like, you know, I'm a big Georgia football fan. Like when they have a commit, one of the websites, I read like they send an SMS, and like, that's good. Like those kind of things it's a win. And it is like that nice middle ground of, you know, it's not an email newsletter, but it's like, when I want to know something quick, SMS is still the way to get the news out there. So again, there's a lot of technical things that go on in the background, and that's where RCS is such a critical upgrade, because SMS technology in a lot of ways, it's very, very old, and obviously it's gotten better over the years, but like it's now time. RCS is that really like, okay, let's reset the playing field a little bit and build a protocol for the next 20 to 30 years.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think it's some of us have seen it and experienced it in those siloed platforms. One of the things that we're excited about, it's not quite there yet for RCS, but will definitely come, is the kind of click to chat. You know, so it's, I want to find my brand. So that brand discovery that I want to talk to, you don't want to find the contact center number. You don't want to wait. You know, when you Google that number or your favorite search engine, what we're looking forward to is that brand discovery. And it happens today on Apple Messages for Business, and it happens today on WhatsApp. So there's absolutely precedence in the market. And we'll see that happen on RCS, I am 100% sure. And then you can find, discover, and interact with a brand much easier on a messaging basis. And you can have that interaction with buttons, carousels, calendar entries. The imagination, you know, you could do a whole plethora of use cases that you could never do before. So that's what we're really looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm excited about the future here. I think we're in a nice spot. And I guess it just took Apple a few years to come kicking and screaming into the RCS. Our friends at 9to5 Google are excited, I know. John, thanks for coming on the show. I will put a link to Ascension in the show notes again. If the